All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today is October 7th, 2025. And our top story this morning, the U.S. government has taken a stake in yet another rare earth critical minerals miner slash developer. This time it is Trilogy Metals. The U.S. government is taking a 10% stake in the company for just $35.6 million. It's not a particularly big company or a big stake that the government is taking, but this is what, the third along the lines of critical minerals? We had the, It was Lithium Americas Corp last week. Before that, it was MP Materials. The Department of Defense took a stake in them earlier this year. Hey, while we're at it, let's throw in the stake the government took in Intel and the golden share of U.S. Steel, whatever that means. The government continues to operate like a hedge fund or a private equity firm buying stake in companies. What gives here? Well, the government's transitioning to a wartime economy, guys. That's the sad reality of this. Every single one of these stories, ultimately, what is the goal? What is the common thread? And that is the inevitable confrontation with China in the South China Sea. Or I should say what appears to be inevitable confrontation with the Chinese. I hope it's not inevitable, but it is looking increasingly so. So with this one, this is a Canadian company, Trilogy Metals. They're trying to operate in Alaska. There's Alaska's Northern Brooks Range. This is a section of the country that was previously off limits. The Biden administration had rejected permits because there's caribou there. So the Trump administration, in addition to opening up or in addition to taking the stake in the company, they're opening up this area to mineral development. They're also issuing permits for a 211-mile stretch of road that's going to connect this area. They look like they're going to generate copper, cobalt, gallium, germanium, other rare earths. The stock is ripping here. It's up almost 250% on this news. A big, big jump. I mean, a $35 million investment in the company from the government. It had a $350 million market cap, and it's up 250%. That's a pretty big move for the stock here. These are almost turning into altcoin treasury companies, guys. I hate to say it, but it seems like just the government announcing a stake in your company is a golden ticket to just like quadruple your market cap overnight. And I guess it makes sense, right? When your business partner owns a money printer, it's probably a good partner to have. And then, of course, we have to say it, guys, you know, the whole like government ownership of the means of production and this slow roll towards socialism and communism. I mean, at some point we're going to stop, right? Right? Anyone? Hopefully. But there's that. Also going on this morning, we are expected to hear from President Trump later today or possibly later this week about a proposed farm bailout. Keep in mind that Chinese have not bought any soybeans from the United States yet this year, and the Chinese are historically the largest buyer of soybeans in the world and the largest buyer of U.S. soybeans. But you may have noticed the whole Liberation Day, the tariff thing, the trade war. Yeah, the Chinese aren't so keen on buying U.S. soybeans, and so farmers are hurting here this year, and the government is expected to announce some type of funding. Now, we've got this whole government shutdown thing is going on. We're now in the second week of the government shutdown, or it's been about a week since we shut down now. Can't do a bailout when the government is shut down because Congress has to approve the funding. So what's going on there? How is that going to happen? Well, President Trump has signaled a willingness to sit down and talk to Democrats about one key issue driving this shutdown. We'll talk about that later. I theorized last week, guys, that at the end of this shutdown, what's going to happen is there's going to be a deal cut where instead of cutting spending, the government increases spending in exchange for other increases in spending. And it looks like that is what is going to happen after all. Meanwhile, we've got New York Stock Exchange owner Intercontinental Exchange, also referred to as ICE, not to be confused with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. But ICE is looking to take a $2 billion stake in Polymarket. That's interesting. The owner of the New York Stock Exchange is buying about a quarter of a gambling website. Why not? This market has devolved into a degenerate casino. Anyway, we might as well stop pretending. This actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it. We've also got Deloitte has signed a big deal with Anthropic to roll out their AI to all of its employees. And it's interesting because this story broke on the same day as a very embarrassing story involving Deloitte and artificial intelligence in Australia. Pretty hilarious. And it's probably a story some of you have seen similar examples of AI hallucination prone products being submitted. It's messy. And also we've got IBM stock is up this morning as they have announced a partnership with Anthropic to make their Claude AI platform available to their software developers. So Anthropic is making inroads here. We've talked all about OpenAI over the last couple of weeks. Every time OpenAI announces some deal to spend a gajillion dollars somewhere, even though they don't have it, the market's like, oh, yay, Sam Altman's my hero. And they don't have the money. These projects are never going to happen. But I digress. Anthropic is actually getting things done. This is kind of interesting. Now, I have been, you may have noticed, highly critical of artificial intelligence on this channel. You probably picked up on that over the last few months. Anthropic is the one company that actually seems to be making inroads to productivity enhancements and an actual use for artificial intelligence. Now, Anthropic's Claude is geared more towards software developers, code writing code. The aggravating a ridiculous phrase, vibe coding, whatever the hell that means, people using AI to create software. That seems to be about the only actual case where AI is generating any kind of productivity enhancements. I don't want to say a return on investment because Anthropic is still bleeding capital every bit as bad as OpenAI is, but it seems to be useful. And so Anthropic's making some headlines here with IBM. That one actually might help either company. We've got AppLovin stock tanked yesterday. This is interesting. AppLovin is a company that's been targeted by short sellers this year. There's been a number of reports about some sleazy data collection practices going on at that company. And then yesterday, there's a report that the SEC is investigating those data collection practices. AppLovin stock down big on that news. We've also got Tesla is expected to announce a cheaper version of their Model Y shortly here. That's an interesting story, guys. We talked a lot about cars, about how the market is demanding cheaper cars because people just can't afford new cars. There's too many bells and whistles and unimportant crap and sensors and check this light that comes on, even though the car's fine. All of this crap. Tesla seems to be making a bare bones vehicle. The Model Y is already their best-selling model. They're trying to get it even lower in price. And it's going to be hard because those EV tax credits just expired. Yet they're expected to announce that this week. 30,000 is the magic number. They need to get that price tag below $30,000. We got an interesting story out of Botswana, not something I usually cover. They're having trouble selling diamonds, maybe because people can't afford to have kids and so they're not getting married. And then you got lab-grown diamonds. Sure, Botswana's having trouble selling diamonds. Who had that on their 2020s bingo? And to round out the show, we've got Thailand is getting down with the helicopter money. They're rolling out stimmies in Thailand. Gee, you think maybe that's why gold is going up relentlessly? Because everybody knows everyone and their brother is going to be spinning up the money printer sooner or later. Debasement of the currency continues to be the law of the land, it seems. Well, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. And as always, don't forget that like button for the algorithm. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this one every single day. And right now, the S&P 500 is looking to open about 13 points higher, or 0.19% to the upside in lieu of absolute catastrophe. Number go up. The Dow is also set to open higher, 102 points in the green, or 0.2% higher. And the NASDAQ leading the way higher, up 73 points, or 0.29% ahead of the opening bell. So stocks are up pretty much across the board here this morning. We have got a slightly stronger dollar again, 98.44. That is up by 32 basis points. The Japanese yen weakening continues to put upward pressure on the DXY. The yen is one of the biggest inputs into the Dixie math. So that stronger dollar is putting a little bit of downward pressure on prices this morning. But keep in mind, guys, even as the dollar gains against other currency, the dollar continues to weaken against stuff. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields a little bit lower this morning. 30-year treasuries at 4.740. That's down almost 2 basis points. The 10 years at 4.155. That's down a point and change. The 2 years at 3.591, down a little bit more than a half a point. And the 1 month is at 4.106, off by 2 points and change. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got gold continuing to move higher again this morning. There it is, guys. We got it. $4,000 gold while you were sleeping. Good God, the December front month contract hit $4,006.67. It actually hit a high of $4,008. It's up another 30 bucks, or 0.77%. The number just keeps going higher. And spot gold is not far behind, $39.83 for spot gold. That's up by $22.81, or about 0.6% higher. Meanwhile, silver is sitting this one out this morning. Even though silver has had one hell of a rally, spot silver's at $48.40 this morning. That's off by about 11 cents, or 0.24%. And that front month December silver contract at $48.26. That is down 18 cents, or 0.39%. We are still seeing silver in London at $48.41. That is more expensive than that December contract. So silver right now remains a little more expensive than silver in December. That is known as backwardation, and that is indicative of a shortage of silver bars in London. And my friend Bob Coleman from Idaho Armored Vaults pointed out yesterday that the cost to borrow SLV shares was rising yesterday. It was going vertical from about 2% and change, which was already pretty high. And we went as high as 9.25% to borrow SLV shares yesterday. That is indicative of a short squeeze in silver. Although right now we don't have a lot happening. We'll see what happens at the New York Open here. As always, I like the shiny. Copper, meanwhile, is higher by 1.55%. Platinum is off by about 0.3%. Palladium is up almost 2%. And WTI crude oil is off by 50 cents, $61.20 for November. WTI futures lower by about 0.8% this morning. Bitcoin continues to look good here, although it is off its highs. Yesterday, we hit an intraday high of 126,296. Bitcoin continuing to run here, although it's pulled back from those levels, currently at $124,746. As shown on Coinbase, we are once again at all-time highs. And as always, guys, I just want to reiterate, we are, according to the calendar, approaching the onset of crypto winter. Just be careful when we're looking at leverage here. I saw today that Binance token, BNB, is now the third largest crypto. It has overtaken XRP. The third largest crypto by market cap is Binance token. Keep in mind, Binance token was created by convicted felon Changpeng Zhou, who is just a sleazeball, even though he's out of jail and back to his stupid, crooked ways. Guys, the fraud building up in the crypto sphere, it's becoming so thick you could almost walk on it. Just be careful. As always, I own a lot of Bitcoin, but I have started taking profits in the last few weeks. All right, here's the top story this morning. U.S. to take a 10% stake in Trilogy Metals to unlock Alaska mining. This is the latest in a string of President Trump's announcements taking stakes in private metals companies. The U.S. said it will take a 10% stake in Canadian minerals explorer Trilogy Metals as part of a $35.6 million investment to secure critical energy and mining projects in Alaska. In an announcement Monday, President Trump said the White House is reversing a Biden-era decision to reject Ambler Road, a project to help access vast critical mineral deposits in Alaska's Northern Brooks Range to open up critical energy and mining projects. The 211-mile highway would connect a remote mining district with deposits of cobalt, copper, gallium, germanium, and other minerals. This was something that we should have been long operating and making billions of dollars for our country and supplying a lot of energy and minerals and everything else, Trump said during an event in the Oval Office. Trilogy Metals has mining claims in remote areas of Alaska, including a joint venture with South 32. The U.S. deal also includes warrants to purchase an additional 7.5% of the Vancouver-based company. The planned investment is the latest example of the Trump administration taking stakes in North American critical minerals companies to help counter China's dominance in the industry. Just last week, the U.S. agreed to acquire a direct interest in Lithium Americas Corp., which is developing the Thacker Pass lithium project in Nevada. And in July, the U.S. Department of Defense agreed to a $400 million equity investment in MP Materials Corp to fund a plant for rare earth magnets. And take a look at Trilogy stock this morning, up 241% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $7.17 after closing at $2.09 yesterday. Now, this was a $340 million market cap company. It looks like this $35 million investment is set to add about $700 million worth of market cap here. Guys, this is the U.S. shifting to a wartime economy, taking stakes in all of these strategic industries like chips, like steel, and like rare earths, all things the U.S. military needs, all markets dominated by the Chinese. Well, that seems to be the way of things lately. And meanwhile, we've got this one developing too. Trump bailout for trade hit U.S. farmers is expected this week. Farmers, we've been kind of tiptoeing around this subject for a while on this channel. The farmers are hurting here, guys. Billions of dollars worth of soybean orders have not materialized. The Chinese have decided they're going to buy from Brazil and Argentina instead. So U.S. farmers are currently about to start their harvest, worried that we might not have anywhere to put all these soybeans if we harvest them and they haven't been sold yet. So the Trump administration is expected to announce a plan as soon as Tuesday to bail out U.S. farmers stung by trade disputes and big harvests, with the initial outlay potentially totaling up to $15 billion, according to sources familiar with the matter. The plan, however, could be difficult to roll out as an ongoing government shutdown prevents the kind of congressional action needed to approve such a large payout, and existing government reserves fall short, the sources said. So Trump wants to bail out the farmers because the Chinese are retaliating against the farmers in exchange, in retaliation for the trade war. But he's got this government shutdown he's got to overcome if he wants to get that done. You think maybe this has something to do with this one in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Trump is open to healthcare talks with Democrats to end the shutdown. This one broke late yesterday. Since the government shutdown began, Democrats and Republicans have been in an impasse over extending Obamacare subsidies. President Trump signaled a willingness to strike a deal on funding health care subsidies demanded by Democrats, putting a spotlight on nascent efforts on Capitol Hill to end the government shutdown. "We have a negotiation going on right now with Democrats that could lead to very good things," Trump told reporters at the Oval Office on Monday, just ahead of another set of failed votes on the Senate floor to resolve the standoff. "I'd like to see a deal made for great health care," he said. Democrats, who have been pressing for negotiations, said there were no talks with Trump underway, but they welcome the prospect. "It should be clear to Republicans that we cannot go forward unless they sit down and seriously negotiate with Democrats to address the healthcare crisis. It's that simple," said Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. So, look, these two stories taken together, it looks like more spending in exchange for more spending. Give the Democrats a little bit of what they want in exchange from the healthcare sector in exchange for getting the farm bill passed, which is part of the larger trade war. That's one of President Trump's priorities. And typically the hallmark of a good arbitration or a good mediation is both sides walk away a little bit upset. And it looks like that's what is going to happen here, guys. Either way, this government spending is going higher. It's either going to go higher or it's going to go higher and it's going to go higher. Maybe that's why gold just keeps going up. And as gold keeps going up, the New York Stock Exchange owner is going to invest $2 billion in betting platform Polymarket, as the country degrades into a bunch of degenerate gamblers. Intercontinental Exchange, owner of the New York Stock Exchange, plans to invest $2 billion in Polymarket. That's a crypto-based betting platform, according to people familiar with the matter. The transaction values the company, which lets traders wager on the outcome of real-world events such as elections and sports, at roughly $8 billion, the people said, asking not to be identified. A representative for ICE declined to comment. Betting on prediction markets soared during the 2024 U.S. presidential election when platforms such as Polymarket and Kalshi handled billions of dollars in wagers on the outcome. Polymarket was kicked offshore by federal regulators in 2022, but the crypto betting platform struck a deal to return by purchasing a little-known derivatives exchange called QCX earlier this year. The purchase came just weeks after prosecutors shut down a probe of the company, which added Donald Trump Jr. to its advisory board earlier this year. Isn't that interesting? The president's son becomes an advisor to the company. All of a sudden, probes end. They're allowed back on shore. They strike a deal to buy this derivatives exchange. It almost looks like trading on Axis, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Maybe they're taking cues from the great modern artist Hunter Biden and learning how to cash in on dad being in the Oval Office. I don't know. Either way, the market continues to just spiral into a casino. So might as well. This makes perfect sense. It's sad and it's pathetic, but this makes perfect sense. Zero DTE options are now like tens of billions of dollars a day, which are just basically betting on blackjack or what's the other one? What, the roulette wheel. You might as well just put $100 down on black when you buy zero DTE call options. Meanwhile, Carlyle unveils proprietary data showing weak U.S. employment. You know, there was two stories like this today, and I didn't want to go too deep into this, but there was also a story that Mish found with Bank of America releasing some private sector data showing weak employment numbers. We've got this one from asset manager Carlyle saying their data is showing weak unemployment. Guys, while all of this is going on, you know, while the government is shut down and we're not getting non-farm payrolls, we should have had them Friday, there is ample data suggesting the job market continues to weaken. We saw that with ADP last week. We saw it with the Challenger job cuts report last week. And now we've got both BofA and Carlyle saying the same thing. It's pretty clear that the jobs market is not as strong as they've been saying it was. The question is, how much weaker is it? And when this shutdown is over and we finally do get these reports, are we going to be in for a sudden shock downwards? It's quite possible. Just keep an eye on that one. Meanwhile, Anthropic lands its biggest enterprise deployment ever with Deloitte deal. This one broke just yesterday at noon. Deloitte on Monday announced a deal to bring Anthropic's artificial intelligent assistant Claude to its more than 470,000 employees around the globe. The rollout will be Anthropic's largest enterprise deployment ever, building on a partnership the two companies first unveiled last year. So Anthropic getting a big deal, Deloitte diving in headfirst into AI, 470,000 employees. Forget all the, you know, warnings about how AI doesn't make any money and how companies are shutting down their pilots because it's not saving them any money. And then the silly story about work slop and AI-generated garbage in the workplace. Nope, Deloitte's diving in with both hands here, going right at Anthropic. And this story broke on the exact same day as this story in PC Magazine. Deloitte refunds a portion of a $440,000 report over AI hallucinations. It comes as the business consulting firm signs a deal with Anthropic to give all of its employees access to the Claude chatbot. Deloitte recently signed a deal with Anthropic to give all its employees access to the Claude chatbot and dramatically expand its use of AI, but the consulting firm might want to keep a close eye on what Claude is churning out. The Australian government recently ordered Deloitte to refund a portion of the $440,000 it was paid for a compliance report after discovering several errors, The Garden reports, most of which were phony citations. A Deloitte spokesperson said the company confirmed footnotes and references were incorrect, and Australian officials re-uploaded a corrected version. Ironically, the report's methodology says its risk assessment process involved using Azure OpenAI GPT-40. So this is important. It wasn't Claude that made this mistake. It was ChatGPT made the mistake, but it was full of fake citations, fake quotes, fake quotes from judges and court cases that didn't exist. A $440,000 report commissioned by the government. They had ChatGPT write it, and ChatGPT made a bunch of shit up. AI hallucinations have cropped up in multiple professional publications over the past few years, from courtrooms to classrooms. It does not appear that Claude was involved in the Australia Deloitte snafu, but the Anthropic deal is the chatbot maker's largest enterprise deployment. It's already working with Novo Nordisk, Cox Automotive, and Salesforce, according to a blog post. So, oops, we had ChatGPT do the work for us, and it hallucinated a bunch of stuff. Guys, if you're cutting human workers because you think AI can replace them, you need to have your freaking head examined, because AI does not work. All right, case in point, look at this story. This one, this is from Zach Corman on Twitter. And he's got this image here showing Copilot in Excel is a global financial crisis waiting to happen. And you can't really see it. I guess you can. It says Copilot, sum the numbers above. That's the line of code that they're giving in Microsoft Excel. And the numbers above are 1, 2, and 3. And the AI generated sum of the above numbers is 15. All right. Somebody want to double check my math? You know, maybe some of you college educated AI types. What's 1 + 2 + 3? If you got 15, chances are you're having Copilot do your math for you. And well, don't quit your day job. Oh, by the way, IBM, they're diving in on this too. IBM rises on Anthropic partnership for AI-aided software coding. International Business Machine shares jumped in pre-market trading on Tuesday after the company announced a plan to integrate Anthropic's artificial intelligence technologies into its software solutions. IBM will make the startup's Claude family of large language models accessible for its clients, the company said in a statement on Tuesday. IBM's new AI-first integrated development environment, which is a tool for helping programmers code, will incorporate Claude and is available to more than 6,000 early adopters, the company said. AI models from Anthropic, which raised money at a $183 billion valuation last month, will eventually be used in other IBM offerings. So this is different from some of these OpenAI announcements recently. This has nothing to do with hardware. This is using Claude for software developing. So not as big a deal, but IBM stock is moving on this. It was up 6% earlier this morning. Now it's up 2.3% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $297.19. Meanwhile, App Lovin' stock tanks on a report that the SEC is investigating the company over data collection practices. This is one of those high-flying stocks this year that the shorts have been all over it, but it's been squeezed higher anyway. Well, yesterday they had a rough day. AppLovin shares plummeted on Monday after Bloomberg reported that the SEC has been probing the mobile advertising company over its data collection practices. The agency has been looking into whether the company violated agreements on pushing targeted ads to consumers, Bloomberg reported, citing people familiar with the matter. The report is that the SEC is responding to a whistleblower complaint filed this year, along with multiple short seller reports, and added that neither the company nor its officials have been accused of any wrongdoing. An AppLovin spokesperson said the company doesn't typically comment on the existence or non-existence of regulatory matters, seeking to downgrade the importance of this. Last month, AppLovin was added to the S&P 500, replacing MarketAxess Holdings at the same time that Robinhood joined the index in place of Caesars Entertainment. AppLovin made the move in the benchmark despite a short seller's effort to keep it out. In March, Fuzzy Panda Research advised the committee for the large cap U.S. index to keep AppLovin from becoming a constituent. AppLovin shares dropped 15% in December when the committee picked Workday to join the S&P 500. Three notable short seller firms, including Fuzzy Panda, have slammed AppLovin as of late. The latest was Muddy Waters Research, which in March said the company's ad tactics systematically violates App Store's terms of service by impermissibly extracting proprietary IDs from Meta, Snap, TikTok, Reddit, Google, and others. In doing so, AppLovin is funneling targeted ads to users without their consent, Muddy Waters said. Fuzzy Panda and Culper Research put out reports the prior month taking aim at AppLovin's Axon software, which drove its earnings growth and its stock surge. The shares dropped 12% on February 26th, the day of the short reports. And AppLovin had a rough day yesterday. It was down more than 15%. You can see that red candle over here from yesterday. Clawing back some of those losses this morning. It's up 2.7% this morning, bouncing a little bit, trading at $603. The stock is up 81% year to date. So despite multiple attacks from short sellers, this thing is still ripping here. We'll see if anything comes out of this SEC probe. Tesla is expected to unveil a lower-cost Model Y in its push to reignite sales. Finally, somebody is making a cheaper car. They're finally getting the message. Tesla is expected to unveil on Tuesday a more affordable version of its best-selling Model Y SUV as the electric vehicle maker seeks to reverse falling sales and waning market share amid rising global competition. CEO Elon Musk for years has promised mass market vehicles, though last year he canceled plans to build an all-new $25,000 EV, Reuters reported. The car expected this week is an affordable vehicle based on current manufacturing and design platforms. Major questions include the car's price, driving range, and efforts to strip down costs. Late last year, Musk said the vehicle would be priced below the key threshold of $30,000, including U.S. EV tax credits. And those EV tax credits just went away, so that $30,000 price tag is going to be a heck of a lot harder to hit. We'll see if this is actually a more affordable vehicle or not later today. Right now, Tesla stock is down about 1.5% after the open. Let's refresh this and get an accurate mark. $445.98, down about $7 today. Now, year to date, Tesla's actually doing all right, which really surprised me this morning. It's actually up 10.4% year to date after having a disastrous start of the year, you know, back when people were throwing Molotov cocktails at charging stations and keying every Tesla car they came across. You know, those mostly peaceful advocates of free exchange of ideas, so long as those ideas conform to my very narrow set of, you know, how the world should be. And if not, I'll shoot you and blow up your car. But other than that, Tesla's having a pretty good year, up 10.4%. Meanwhile, Botswana says they pulled diamond sale and that it wasn't an emergency auction. This is kind of an interesting story. I mean, you're probably saying to yourself, who cares about diamonds in Botswana? But you can see some underlying macroeconomic tones in this story here. Botswana said an unprecedented ad hoc diamond auction late last month in which it didn't sell any gems because the reserve price wasn't met, wasn't an emergency sale. They didn't sell a single diamond. State trader Akavango Diamond Company has offered about 1 million carats of rough stones in a closed tender on September 25th, Bloomberg reported at the time, that the aim had been to raise revenue for the government whose economy has suffered from a slump in the global gem market. The diamond world is grappling with one of its worst downturns in decades amid a drop in Chinese demand and strong competition from lab-grown stones. While U.S. tariffs have sown further uncertainty, Botswana in particular is feeling the pinch. Diamonds account for about 80% of its export sales and around a third of government revenue. So you got a country here. Diamonds is their key output. Third of government revenue. They're holding a sale. They don't sell a single diamond because nobody bids enough. Why is nobody bidding enough? Well, first of all, the whole global economy is slowing down. That's not helping. People can't afford to get married and have kids. So if you can't afford to get married and have kids, you're not dropping 3 months' salary on that engagement ring. China has a population collapse because apparently they did things to little girls 20 years ago. Now there's not enough women in the country. And so there's not enough demand for diamonds. This is kind of a mess, guys. And, you know, this is indicative of macro trends all over the world, not just in China, in the West, in Africa. And then you've got a government that's at risk of going insolvent because they can't sell any diamonds. But gold just keeps ripping higher. And last but not least, we got to talk about the helicopter money, guys. It's making a comeback. I mean, look, we're talking about doing tariff rebate checks here in the States. So, and then Japan, their yen just tanked yesterday because they had a pro-stimulus candidate won an election there. And now we've got Thailand deploys $1.4 billion stimulus to spur consumption. It's almost like everybody forgot all about that whole inflation thing, which never even ended, and we're already working hard on the next round. Prime Minister, something I definitely can't pronounce, his government has greenlit a $1.36 billion consumption stimulus program to boost a weakening economy and its popularity ahead of a general election. Vote buying for 1,000, Alex. The so-called co-payment program, endorsed by the Thai cabinet Tuesday, is essentially a government subsidy on the cost of some food, goods, and services. It's a flagship policy of Anutin, who became the country's leader last month and promised to announce an election by January. While the subsidy is part of a populist push to appease voters, it comes at a time when Thailand's economy is in dire need of a lift. Economists in a Bloomberg survey expect growth to stall in the second half of this year, weighed down by tariff-hit exports, slowing tourism, and softening consumption. So just print some money, helicopter it out there, buy some votes, and then act surprised 2 years from now when inflation skyrockets again. That's typically how these things work. It's almost like we never learn our lesson. Freaking ever. And gee, I just wonder why gold keeps going up. Maybe because every freaking government in the world is going to do the same thing. The French are doing it. The Japanese are doing it. The U.S. is doing it. The Chinese are doing it. And now Thailand. Gotta love it. Well, guys, that's about all I got for you today. I just want to say thank you so much for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Nan, I hope you feel better. Get well soon. Thank you so much for everything you do for the channel. Thank you also to my magnanimous melon heads on Patreon and YouTube. You guys rock. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.